Good morning to all of you. Morning to all of you on the Blog Talk Radio line. Amen. I know that you are from all over the world, and we do humble ourselves before you as a lamb coming to shepherd and shepherd us all over the world. We appreciate your presence. Know that you are busy too, just like myself, and so we know that you're here by choice. God bless all of you. Hopefully, my prayer is that you would leave the same way you've come. Before I begin this morning, let's have a word of prayer, and then let's give God some praise. If you don't realize that God has been good to you, I would expect you not to give him praise. But if you are a Christian and you realize that God has been good to you, then I expect you to praise him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, good morning to you, Lord. We do reverence you and praise you and appreciate you more than anybody or anything in the world. God, we know that you're real. You're not a figmentation of our imagination. You are for real. And you live in this world inside of us. Thank you for being inside of us, Lord. We pray for forgiveness for every sin of omission, every sin of commission. And we thank you, Lord, for the covering of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your healing virtue and rest and rules inside of us. We praise you for what you've done, for what you're doing now, and for what you're going to do. God, the half has not been told of what you shall do in the future. Now, God, we lift you up higher than anything or anybody on this face of this earth. We give you all the glory and all the praise.
Yes.
And may we say, Lord, we love you. In the name of Jesus. Now bless this prayer line. Move in just a multitudinous way. Help every person on this line. And don't let them leave the same way they come. Thank you again and again. Heal people. Bring forth miracles as we've never seen in 2015. We just praise you and give you the glory and all the praise and thank you for everything. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for the blog line every night where we're able to lead people around the world into giving you over 2 billion praises. Thank you for the prayer line that is helping people all over the world. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen and amen. And good morning. Are y'all awake out there? If you are, good morning to you, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And let's say good morning. Speak to the Lord. Good morning, Lord. Good morning.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord. Good
morning, Lord.
Amen. And this is the time that we have to praise him. Amen.
Yes.
To literally open our mouths. If you're too sleepy to open your mouth, push past the stench. I brought a message called Push Past the Stench. And that is the enemy will try to bring things to hold you back. And you will have to push past it to get the blessing. You want a blessing this morning? Push past the stench.
Yes.
And give God glory and give him praise. Praise check. That means everybody come in and let's give him praise. Praise check in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you. Glory. We just love you and praise you. Thank you for everything. Hallelujah.
For your word. Thank you, Jesus.
Greater than the
hallelujah.
Best. Best than the best.
Glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Oh, we praise and magnify your name. Lift you up, Lord.
Thank you.
Your holy name.
God, we thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless the matter of good rest.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. The matter of
thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you.
Thank you.
For your protection and hands, being careful, watching over leading us and guiding us and teaching us that we are your way. We thank you, Lord.
Thank
Lord, we need to know more about your will and your way. And
ask
us to just do what you have us to do.
Thank
my soul was saying, yes, Lord. Yes, to the will of the Lord. Yes, to the will of God. Oh, we surrender all to thee. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, my soul say yes. My soul say yes. My soul wait on thee. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless your people here, there, and everywhere. Bless them, Lord. Bless everyone we pray. Bind up the broken hearts. Heal that wounded soul. Let the press go free in the name of Jesus. Oh, bless your holy name. We love your name. We love you. We abide, Lord. We abide and abide with us. Abide with us. Don't never leave us. Oh, praise the Lord. Don't forsake us. We love your name. We love your name. We love your name. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Wash us away all sin. Oh, cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse us for the way of the Lord. Lord, I thank you for your blood. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
thank you. Thank you,
glory.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you.
The blood.
Thank you, Lord.
Of you, that means that
since the Holy Ghost has healing, y'all. Yeah, the Holy Ghost has healing. He, in fact, he is healing. And if you get him inside of you, you have to release that healing by faith. You release it. And he will heal you if you believe him and have enough faith to be healed. He can heal you. Healing still goes on because the Holy Ghost is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So I want to encourage you to get the Holy Ghost and release that healing. He will release that healing if you have the faith to believe him. Amen. Now, I know those are some different things that I'm teaching to you than you probably, some of you have ever heard before, but it makes sense. Think with your mind, common sense. And that is that, because, see, common sense many times is better than book sense, than something you read. The Holy Ghost will reveal himself to you. And he revealed to me that when he's inside of you, and he is, that healing is inside of you. How could the Holy Ghost be there if healing is not there? It comes with the Holy Ghost. It's already there. All you got to do is believe in the Lord enough that he, and request it, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find. You got cancer? If you got the Holy Ghost, healing is in your body already. Get the Holy Ghost to release the healing, to heal you, whatever you got. I hope that makes sense. Some things you cannot understand until you get on the spiritual level, because they're not in the natural. They're spiritual things. And when you get in the spirit, you'll understand it. All right. I asked yesterday, put forth 7 questions that are some of the most important questions that you will ever hear in your life. And those are questions about the Holy Ghost. Number one, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I discussed that yesterday. What is the Holy Ghost as part of that? What is being saved as part of that? So the question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, I want to just say this to you. Always, when you discuss things like this, the Holy Ghost, expect distractions. Because the enemy, this is one of the main things that the enemy does not want people to be taught. They don't look around you. The enemy has sidestepped churches all over the world, sidestepped leaders all over the world. You don't hear people teaching about the Holy Ghost hardly ever nowadays. Why? Because the enemy has sidestepped pastors, sidestepped leaders and everything else all over the world because he doesn't want this taught. He brings distractions to keep, see there? That's what I'm talking about right there. He'll bring distractions to keep you from hearing about the Holy Ghost. Now, somebody is moving right in the phone. That's not God that has you moving like that. God would never go against himself. That's not God. That's the enemy making you do that. And I hope you recognize, if you have been saved, I hope you recognize that that's not God having you do that. Right in the phone. Yeah, yeah. You just moved again. Just put your phone on *6. Mute your line. So you won't be used by the devil. That is the enemy. God wouldn't be doing that to keep people from hearing about the Holy Ghost. That, you know, just use your mind. Yeah, that's not the Lord. So mute your line, darling. It'll be nice to you. Mute the line, please. *6 and push mute. Now, these questions that I ask are so important. First of all, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If you haven't, then that's what's wrong. That's the question. That's the answer to the question. Why is it so difficult for you to live saved? Because, see, you don't have the Holy Ghost. It would be difficult. The Holy Ghost is your helper. He's your keeper. He helps you to walk right. He helps you to live right. He helps you to do right. He helps you to be right. Yeah, he gives you a help, see. And that's the answer. You say, but I've been trying to live saved. See, that's the problem. You've been trying. You've been trying to live saved. And see, when you get the Holy Ghost, he lives saved through you. It becomes an easier, much easier thing for you to live saved because you got the Holy Ghost. Number two, second question, what is the Holy Ghost? I answered that and gave you scripture. Let me go back to one again. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You can go to Acts 19 and 2. If you're like those disciples, if you're like them, then you're in bad shape, because they said, we haven't even heard that there be a Holy Ghost. But they did receive the Holy Ghost. The second question, what is the Holy Ghost? Go to John 14:26, and it tells you that the Holy Ghost is your comforter. And I told you yesterday, you see, the disciples, they heard and many of them saw Jesus being crucified. Have you ever had a best friend and you saw if you saw your best friend, if you saw your brother or your sister or your uncle or cousin, if you saw your mama or daddy being crucified, if you saw them being shot to death, somebody takes a pistol and shoots them 7 times, that would be hard for you to get over that. You would need a comforter. See, God knew all things. He saw not only disciples at the cross or around the cross, but he saw you in 2015. He saw you going through all kinds of turmoil. He saw you going through all kinds of problems. He saw you being bruised, and he saw you being wounded, and he saw you being hurt by people. He saw all this, and he said, because I see people being wounded and bruised and hurt and everything else, like the disciples around the cross, he said, they're going to need a comforter. They're going to need to be comforted. Some of y'all just got through with the funeral. You needed somebody to comfort you at the funeral, and God was there comforting you through the auspices of the Holy Ghost. So he sent back the comforter. After Jesus died, rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, God sent the gift back of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is there as the comforter. What is the Holy Ghost? He is the comforter. If you read John 14:26, it says, but the comforter, then it says, which is the Holy Ghost. The comforter is the Holy Ghost. Then it tells you again, whom the Father will send in my name. Jesus is talking here. He shall teach you all things. Now that gets into the dispensation of the Holy Ghost, what it does. All right, but the Holy Ghost is your comforter. In the Greek court, you'll see, they had a helper in the Greek court. It was like a lawyer in the Greek court, back there in the Greeks, like a lawyer. And they called this lawyer, and they called him the paraclete, the parakletos. And the parakletos simply means the helper. He came in court to help the Greeks. They referred to him as a helper. So that's what we have today, somebody to help us. I need help. Do you need help? I need the Holy Ghost, and I've got the Holy Ghost, but I certainly need him in my life, all right? I dealt with that extensively yesterday. I'm just giving you a brief. Then thirdly, what is the difference between getting saved and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You can find that in Acts 2:38. It clearly tells you. I'm not trying to do any doctrinal teaching. I'm not trying to sway you from your religion or anything else. I'm just reading the Bible. I'm giving you scriptures for all these things. You can decipher them, but they're clearly cut. Acts 2:38, when Peter was preaching, you know, when Peter got the Holy Ghost up there in the upper room, he was there. And then he preached to about thousands of people. And when he preached to those thousands of people, 3,000 of them got saved. Yeah. And they received the Holy Ghost too. So he preached to them in Acts 2:38. My God. And he preached the difference between getting saved and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the word says there is a difference in getting saved and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're two separate things. And the word tells us, look at this, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's the first thing. That's what we call being born again. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. That's getting saved.
And then it has an and after that. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And, A-N-D, what does that mean? That means in addition to. That means after that, or after what? After you repent and be baptized. That's the first thing. This is not a combination altogether. The and means that there's an addition. Something's coming here. After you repent and be baptized, after you get saved, then what happens? If you desire it, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They're two separate things. After you repent and be baptized, first step, born again, then it says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So this clearly shows us that there is a distinctive difference. There's a distinction between getting saved and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Read it yourself. Ask the Lord to help you to understand it before you read it. Acts 2:38. Because you don't want to get into your own interpretation. Just read the scripture and let it stand for itself. Acts 2:38. Okay? All right? And the disciples were good people. That's what I was telling you yesterday, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They couldn't have had the Holy Ghost because Jesus hadn't died and he had descended to heaven. How could they have had the Holy Ghost? Because it wasn't given until Jesus died and ascended up to the Father, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Okay, so they couldn't have had it. But they got it after Jesus died, went to heaven. They went to the upper room, and the Bible tells us in Acts, the second chapter, that on the day of Pentecost, they were up there, and the Holy Ghost came like a rushing mighty wind, and it clove in tongues. In other words, tongues like as a fire divided to set up upon each one of them. It set up on each one of them. Yeah, now, that's not you know too far fetched, because if God, and He did, open up the Red Sea and let people walk across, why would you think He couldn't separate tongues? He can separate tongues with like as fire, and that fire fell upon all of them, and they received the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues. Now, that thing about speaking in tongues, that's what the enemy has used nowadays to keep people from wanting to receive the Holy Ghost, because they don't understand it. And when people don't understand something, then they don't want to participate in it. They don't want to receive it. But tongues are easy to understand. And I don't fight the Bible, because if you look in 2 Corinthians, the Bible, around the 14th chapter, the Bible will tell you that in the gifts, the tongues, one of the gifts, you know, you don't fight the Word of God. If you're going to say that you are a Christian, one thing you don't want to fight is the Word of God. And the Bible tells you that tongues are a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't plan to do this right now, because I'm still right here on question number 3. What is the difference between getting saved and receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? But maybe the Holy Ghost is leading me right now to explain tongues to you. You don't have to be afraid of tongues. I know some people, some denominations are so afraid. You mentioned, oh my God, they go crazy, you know. But you don't have to do that. You really don't. Tongues can be explained very simply. The Holy Ghost explained it to me. I said, the Holy Ghost explained the tongues to me. So let me give you the explanation, and you can see if the Holy Ghost, or you can determine whether you think the Holy Ghost did explain it to me. This is not my explanation. But the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart one day early in the morning. He said, Vernard, tongues can be explained like this. How many of you are alive? How many are you? You are people. How many of you can breathe and hear and see? And then, if you're a person, some of the attributes of you being a person is that you can move your hands and feet, and you can hear, you can see, and not only that, what really makes you a person is that you're able to speak many times. Everybody can't speak, but most people who are people can speak. You can say hello. You can say God bless you. You can say I'm praying for you. All these things, you can speak. And that symbolizes or shows or reveals that you are a person. Now, if you can speak, let me tell you something. If you're a person, why would you not give the Holy Ghost credit? That's a selfish, selfish, selfish person who would really not try to not be fair with the Holy Ghost. Because, you see, just like you're a person and the traits of being a person, being able to hear, see, talk, talking is one of your traits. Amen. Y'all been talking there, wherever you are, you've been talking. Just like you're a person, the Holy Ghost is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the third person of the Trinity is the Holy Ghost. So, I mean, why would you be so arrogant to think, since you can speak, the Holy Ghost can't speak? Since he's a person, that's being so unfair. He's the one, God created you, God the first person, the Son, the second person, and the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity. They're all three in one. That's so unfair for you to think that just because you can speak, are you the only one who you think can speak? That's so selfish. People nowadays are so selfish. The Holy Ghost is a person, and he can speak just like you can speak. We say, but he ain't never spoke through me. Well, maybe you didn't want him to speak to you. Maybe you're so afraid you wouldn't let him come. Maybe it's your denomination that has held you back or something. I don't know. But if you didn't want him to speak, he wasn't going to speak to you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will sup with him. I will fellowship in his life. But the Holy Ghost can speak just like you can speak. The Holy Ghost can speak. Well, now, I get afraid of them tongues and all that kind of stuff. Well, the reason why you get afraid is because you don't understand it. And when you understand something, then you're not so afraid. Listen, but now, what about all them tongues? You know, they be speaking, oh, you know, all that. It ain't American language. Well, let me ask you something. Where are you from? Some of y'all born in Texas. Some of y'all born in Kansas City. Some of y'all born in Illinois. Some of y'all born in Wisconsin. Some of y'all born in Kentucky and Mississippi and Georgia. Let me just make a profound statement to you. The Holy Ghost was not born in Georgia. You weren't born in Kentucky. You weren't born in Texas or Kansas. The Holy Ghost... my God. Let me back up a moment. See, if you're from down south in Texas and Mississippi, you even speak a little different from the folks up there in Chicago. Yeah. But you know, it's a part of your culture, where you come from. See, the Holy Ghost is not from Georgia. The Holy Ghost is not from Texas and all around there. The Holy Ghost is from heaven. Just like you speak in Georgia and everything else, the Holy Ghost speaks different from you because he ain't from Georgia. He ain't from Texas. He ain't from Kansas City. The Holy Ghost is from heaven, and therefore he speaks a heavenly language. Just because you can't understand it doesn't mean that he can't speak. Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that he doesn't have a language. He knows all languages. He alone, God, the Holy Ghost, Jesus, they created all things and they created together. So he's got a heavenly language. The reason why you can't understand it is he's speaking the language where he came from. He's speaking where he came from. Now,
praise him. We want to thank all of you for joining us today. And remember, if you want to make contact with us, just simply go to the email address. If you hear a program and you'd like to hear a little bit more of it, or if you have some suggestions as to how we can improve on the programming, just simply go to the email address. Email us, ladyhagen@yahoo.com. LadyHateYahoo.com. And we want to thank all of you for being with us. Please stand by a moment.
If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have no power. So leave him alone and until you get the Holy Ghost. Then you have power to cast out demons. Yeah, yeah, you have power to heal the sick. And you even have power to raise the dead. Through what? Through the auspices of the Holy Ghost. He can do all that. Yeah, I told you about being sick. If the Holy Ghost is in your body, you've got healing in your body. Because he's not going to be there without all of his attributes. If he's going to be inside of you, he has the attribute of healing. And it's already inside of you. The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me move quickly here. Number six, when are you eligible to receive the Holy Ghost? That's the question. When are you eligible? Well, the Holy Ghost comes because you are saved. And when you get saved, the Bible declares that you can receive the Holy Ghost. It comes because you are saved. If you're saved, you're eligible to receive the Holy Ghost. But now, what do I have to do when I get saved? Well, the way you used to walk, don't walk that way anymore. The things you used to do, don't do them. The negative things. Where you used to go, don't go to the negative places. You used to do this, you used to that. You have to clean up your temple. See, he lives in that temple. That's where he comes to live. Now, you say, well, now, can I still smoke and get the Holy Ghost? Well, let me ask you something to just have common sense. Since the Holy Ghost lives inside of your temple, your house, do you want smoke all inside your house? If you were the Holy Ghost, I'm just not trying to be sacrilegious, but just think. If you were the Holy Ghost and you got your whole house just full of smoke and you open up talking about, come on in, Holy Ghost, come on in. And he wants to come in, and you got smoke everywhere, and he comes in. I can't believe. You think he's coming in there? Well, I don't think he's going to dwell in a house, and you got it full of smoke everywhere, and you're trying to get the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to clean up your temple. I mean, how many of y'all clean up your house? You got this there, and you got that there, and it's cluttered here and cluttered there. The Holy Ghost comes in a clean temple. You'll say, well, now, can I keep on drinking and everything? Well, clean up the house. You know, it's common sense. Like, let me go back to smoke here. How are you going to say it's clean? And even the doctors tell you that cancer can come from smoking. And you got smoke all in your house. And then you're drinking. Well, I'm going to be drinking, but I want the Holy Ghost. Well, you got to clean up your temple. How are you going to invite him in? And you got spirits already in there. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. And you got all kind of spirits up in there. Jack Daniels and every other kind of spirit up in there. See, God is a jealous God. He's not going to try to come in there and you got Jack Daniels already taking space everywhere. He wants to dwell in your temple, but you got to clean it up. I hope I'm making sense to you. You got to clean up your temple if you want the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when you clean up the temple, a mother Turpentine used to say, you can keep him from coming in if you tried. He wants to come in your temple and live there. If you want him to come in and you clean your temple and live for the Lord, yeah, he wants to come in your temple. So when are you eligible to receive the Holy Ghost? When the moment you get saved. See, I've seen people get saved and want the Holy Ghost so bad they got the Holy Ghost right away. Disciples went up to the upper room and tarried. And I'm for tarrying in this day and time too. But if the Holy Ghost is going to come in right away, that's fine. And that's a wonderful thing. But it's not any harm to tarry. And in other words, tarrying is waiting on the fulfillment of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost upon you. That's a good thing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It's a good thing to wait on the Holy Ghost. Amen. Somebody's on the phone again, and the enemy's using you. I mean, to try to distract somebody. The Holy Ghost is on the line now, and the enemy doesn't want the Holy Ghost to be fulfilled. in the hearts of somebody. So watch yourself. Don't let the devil use you. That is the devil. Yeah, that's the devil. You've been warned and told and asked not to do that, and yet you're doing it. That's the enemy using you. That couldn't be God fighting against himself. So I just ask you, just mute your line. Press *6 if you don't know how to do it. *6. All right. Now, the fifth question I gave you, why do you need the Holy Ghost? You need power. And then question number 6, when are you eligible to receive it? When you get saved. Amen. The more I've seen people get it right away. And then the 7th question, how do you receive the Holy Ghost? Well, a part of that I've discussed with you, and that is you got to clean up your temple. Get rid of everything in your life that's not like the Lord. Paul said in Hebrews 12:1-2, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset thee. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22-23, says abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Clean up yourself, because he will not come into an unclean temple. If you don't clean up your temple, you will never get the Holy Ghost. What is your temple? I told you, it's the body. The body, where's that found? Pastor, 1 Corinthians 6:19, and somebody's still in the phone. You're moving around, darling. Darling, you're moving around. Don't you see? You're a being. You're a human. You see you moving around right next to the phone. And then stop it. Stop it. You're still doing it. Stop it. All right, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's where it's found. Okay, but you've got to clean up your body. If you don't have the strength to do it, just ask the Lord to help you. He will help you. The sin, you know, he will help you get rid of all those sins. And see, all your evil ways, that nasty attitude, that stubbornness, cleaning up, which is the sin of witchcraft and the sin of usury, just using people to get what you really want and discarding people. Some people are into that. You got to clean up your body not only from those things and habits, but things that you're doing. You don't have a heart of compassion. You want to be like the Lord. Have a heart of compassion. Stop the sin of usury and envy and strife and jealousy and gossiping and smoking and drinking and fornication and adultery. All these habits, that lying, that cheating, those drugs, and many other things. If you don't clean up your temple, then you're not saying that I want the Holy Ghost. But when you get rid of everything that's not like the Lord, you will receive him. It's like Mother Turpentine, I was telling you. See, she said you can't keep the Holy Ghost off you with the 45. He will come. You could be sitting down reading your Bible, and the Holy Ghost will come in when you really clean up your temple and want the Holy Ghost. He's not going to come in if you don't want him. In fact, you got to want the Holy Ghost more than anything in the whole wide world. See, some of y'all afraid of the Holy Ghost. Years ago, people were afraid of those holy rollers. They wouldn't even, if they saw a holy roller walking on one side of the street, they'd cross the street because they were scared that if they passed by them, whatever was on them would jump off of them on them. See, jump off the saints onto them. But see, you don't have to worry about anything like that. The Holy Ghost is not going to do that, because you've got to want the Holy Ghost more than anything in the world in order for the Holy Ghost to come in your life. He's not going to jump off of you, jump off the saints onto you. No. He's not going to do that because he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way into your life. You got to want him more than anything in the whole wide world. You got to want him. And see, you can be at your lunch break. I've heard of this before. People on their lunch break sitting down in their car at work, and the Holy Ghost falls on them because they wanted him. They've been seeking him. They turn the plate down, fasting to receive him. That simply says that the Holy Ghost is more important than your food. And when you show him that you want him more than anything in the world, then he'll come in your life if you want him. You can be ironing your clothes. People have gotten the Holy Ghost while they were ironing their clothes. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost fell. They went to shouting everywhere. I hope they put that iron up. You can be jogging. Receive the Holy Ghost. Jogging. Every time you put your foot down, it might be saying thank you to you. It might be saying thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, shut it on, dick. Shut it. You can be jogging, receive the Holy Ghost. You can be on your computer and receive the Holy Ghost. You can be in your car at lunch. You can be in your car right now and receive the Holy Ghost. You can be at church and receive the Holy Ghost. It can be midnight and you can receive it. It can be 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I've heard of people going to church and getting the Holy Ghost and getting so full all night long, they're still speaking. They're still shouting. They're still praising God. And I've just heard of it. It just falls on people when you get yourself right before the Lord. Now let me describe how the disciples, this is a description of somebody else who got the Holy Ghost, who received the Holy Ghost. This is their testimony of how they got it. Okay? Let me read it to you. This is their testimony, again, I say, of how they received the Holy Ghost. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Let me read that again because of distraction. And when the day of Pentecost, I talked about Pentecost the day before yesterday, when the day of Pentecost, and that is, Pentecost is the day that the Holy Ghost was sent by God, and it fell on the disciples and the apostles. When it was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all together, thinking together, wanting the Holy Ghost. They were thinking alike. They were with one accord. They were praying to receive the Holy Ghost. They were there to get the Holy Ghost. They wanted the Holy Ghost. They wanted the Holy Ghost more than anything in the world. Jesus told them to go to the upper room and stay there until you be endued with power. So they were there for the same reason. Then it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. It wasn't a gradual thing. It just like that. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. See, and like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, when I read that, and it filled all the house, it says all the house where they were sitting. That told me right away that something was getting ready to happen to all of them. If it said it filled part of the house, I would say, well, some of them getting ready to get the Holy Ghost. But no, it filled all the house where they were sitting. That showed me that everybody in that house getting ready to get the Holy Ghost. Why you know that, Dr. John? Because they were all with one accord. They were all wanting the Holy Ghost. They were all there for one reason. They were all there on the same